Money FM 89.3, best of drive time.
Time now to take a look at a couple of headlines. Silicon Valley Bank's sudden collapse. We also have the mega submarine deal under the AUKUS agreement, as well as the controversial Willow oil drilling project in Alaska. On the line with me this afternoon is Tricia Craig, Vice President, Engagement, and Senior Lecturer of Social Sciences, Sociology, and Political Science for Yale and US College. Tricia, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi there, I'm well.
It is a day where the theme is everything everywhere all at once, not just Oscars, but in politics as well. Gosh, you know, the bank that caters to so many tech investors collapsing over the weekend, taken over by financial regulators, becoming one of the largest lenders to fail since 2008 global financial crisis. It feels like Lehman Brothers all over again. I'm talking about Silicon Valley Bank. Let's talk about how major this is and, of course, allude us to the political implications of this.
Mm-hmm. This is really quite a big deal. It's not just that it's the biggest failure since 2008. It's the second largest bank failure in U.S. history. And I think the speed with which it all came tumbling down really boggled people's minds. You know, they were a well-capitalized bank on Wednesday night. By Thursday, share prices had fallen so much, trading was halted, and they were taken over by regulators. I think it's significant for a number of reasons. One is the potential fallout to the rest of the banking system. Also, though, they had been for 40 years, they had been a key part of the Silicon Valley ecosystem, focusing on startups, entrepreneurs, really taking risks on the kind of firms that many more traditional banks would not. So this also raises questions about future funding for innovation. You know, what does this mean for Europe, but also the ability of people in Asia to raise U.S. capital? And then, of course, there are political implications.
Yeah. I mean, Signature Bank also being closed by New York regulators in the SVB's wake. I want to ask, what is Janet Yellen thinking right now other than, why did I take this job?
I think her, biggest fear and biggest challenge right now is just making sure that this does not cause some kind of contagion. Yeah. And really, the fundamentals suggest that it shouldn't, but fundamentals don't always play into markets getting spooked. When investors lose confidence, that's when you get a run on the banks, even when the underlying system is pretty sound. So over the weekend, the Treasury, the Federal Reserve, and the FDIC, the insurance corporation that makes sure that your deposit up to $250,000 is protected, they were working all weekend to come to some kind of resolution. They would like to find a buyer, but I think it was more important that they reassure and calm markets. And so that's why they said all of the depositors will be made whole, they'll be paid back, and the taxpayers won't be left on the hook for it.
Mm. Political ramifications, there are a couple of fronts here. I mean, one would be Congress reaction. The other, I mean, there's an election happening next year, isn't there? So what to expect?
Well, I think it's significant that they really took great pains to say that no losses will be borne by U.S. taxpayers, because politically that's incredibly important.
Yeah.
For Biden, this isn't great because his opponents can now paint him as somebody who's bailing out banking fat cats and the tech bros from Silicon Valley, while regular Americans struggle with rising interest rates. And, we see already his opponents, the people who have announced that they're running and the people we think are running, are all over this. Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, she said no taxpayer money should be used, and that's what will happen. And Ron DeSantis, used this to pile onto his culture war rhetoric, saying the bank was too busy worrying about diversity training than banking, which doesn't make any sense, but, that's his jam, the culture wars. On the other hand, an implosion of the banking system would certainly mean the end, I think, of Biden's reelection aspirations.
Yeah. You look at just earlier in the month, you had a bit of a report that the banks are strong, overall financial system seems to be in solid shape. And then you have this Silicon Valley Bank issue that happened over the weekend. We also had the February jobs reports displaying a still hot jobs market. Looking at all this event, I hate to put you on the spot here, Tricia. Mm. There is this issue of pressure on the Fed to stop interest rate hikes. I mean,
yes.
Is this something that needs a deeper discussion?
I think, and I think we're going to see maybe a change at the next meeting than we had anticipated. Part of the as I said before, the banking sector does not seem to have widespread systemic issues, but they are facing an unusual challenge right now. Mm. Over the past year, the Fed has raised the benchmark rates 4.5%. That's extremely rapid in a year. They were trying to tame inflation, but when interest rates rise, bond prices fall. And a lot of banks have these large bond portfolios because they were trying to eke out returns in what has been a low return environment. And so the problem is that, you know, trying to sell that portfolio when depositors want money means that they're selling at a loss, and so they need to raise more capital to cover those losses. And when depositors get spooked, like they did at SVB, too many people want their money. And so so the interest rate issue has really probably exacerbated the banking crisis. But I think in terms of other sort of elements of the of the economy, what we saw with the February jobs reports is that, yes, more jobs were added than expected. But I think if you look a little more closely at it, the jobs report wasn't as strong as it first appears. The unemployment rate was up a little bit for the first time since October. Hourly wages rose less than we expected. So it suggests that inflation may be moderating. And I think this plus the banking situation means it's quite likely that the Fed will hold off. They'll moderate the interest rate hike, maybe a quarter point instead of the half point, or maybe even not at all.
All right, let's switch tracks to talk about the AUKUS deal, a trilateral security partnership. The US, UK, as well as Australia, all the parties involved, they'll provide nuclear-powered submarines to Australia. The partnership announced, of course, in September 2021, all this part of the US and UK's strategies to more deeply deal with the Indo-Pacific, largely to counter Beijing's assertiveness in the region. There's the other issue of the conflict in Ukraine as well. It kind of feels like it's a bit thinly spread in terms of trying to manage these. And can we expect a response from Beijing anytime soon?
Yes, I think so. Well, we've already had a little bit of a response. So it seems that Australia is going to buy 3 or 4, maybe more, nuclear-powered Virginia-class submarines. And I think part of the calculus of this is that the war in the Ukraine has showed us that surface ships are sitting ducks. The surface of the ocean is a very dangerous place. And in the new security environment of growing threats from both Russia and China, it makes this kind of technology and these sort of partnerships more important. The nuclear subs are more stealthy than conventional subs. So part of that, I think, is lessons from Ukraine. But ahead of this, the UK announced that they will increase defense spending by $6 billion to counter these threats. And the deal deepens the strategic partnership across the three countries, involves things like technology sharing. I think Australia sees this as important for its ability to defend itself in the region, and the UK sees this as giving it an increased role in the Indo-Pacific. And of course, China is not very happy with the deal. They've said this seriously exacerbates the risk of nuclear proliferation, and it really views the AUKUS as a kind of destabilizing force for the region.
Okay. Tricia, just a final issue, and this is in relation to how news outlets in the U.S. reported that the Interior Department will officially give ConocoPhillips the nod to proceed with the Willow Project. This is an $8 billion endeavor that will be the single largest oil operation in the U.S. this week or next week, if I'm not mistaken. President Biden has denied reports that the Alaska drilling project has been approved. No final decision has been made. If I'm one of those climate-minded Democrats, what kind of response can we expect here? What kind of, I don't know, conflict could happen in Congress with regard to this matter?
Yeah, this puts Biden somewhat at odds with the environmental wing of his party. He, you know, has campaigned a lot on environmental protection. The administration hasn't said that it's approving it, but it does seem quite clear that this will go through. In exchange, and I think this is a nod to the environmentalists, they have announced a whole new range of protections for Alaskan waters. They'll ban drilling in the Arctic Ocean. They'll protect a bunch of land on Alaska's North Slope. But I think what we will see is that it certainly hurts the progress and potentially overshadows the wins that the Biden administration has already produced for the environment, like rejoining the Paris Accords. And in particular, I think that Willow is something that could galvanize young people, right, who are really concerned about the environment, and it could hurt him with that demographic. Stop Willow hashtag, or hashtag Stop Willow is trending. And, you know, the last time I was here, we talked about TikTok and banning TikTok. And so he does have to worry not just about the environmentalists, but about the younger voters who he needs to for his re-election.
Yeah, well, that's politics, right? Kind of forces a more mature segment of the audience to become a bit more hip, Tricia. we try. Tricia Craig, Vice President, Engagement and Senior Lecturer of Social Sciences, Sociology and Political Science for Yale and US College. Tricia, I appreciate your time as always. Have a great Monday evening ahead.
Thank you. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.